Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to be learning Ksuvos Daf Yud Beis. We left off three lines, or we'll pick up three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis at Tanu Rabbanan. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for the sponsorship. I didn't see if there were any other sponsors. We are going to discuss the following. First thing we're going to discuss is that there was a machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rava. If a guy marries a woman with the assumption that she's a basula, and it turns out that she's a bu'ula. So Rava says that it's a mekach to'os legamri, and she loses her ksuba entirely. Whereas Rav Sheshes says, no, it's not a mekach to'os. We just adjust the rate of the ksuba. So it gets adjusted down to a mana. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa where we're going to be able to figure out who's correct and how each one learns the braisa. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about what the minhag was in Yehuda, in the towns of Yehuda, what they would do as far as yichud before the wedding, and how that would adjust the expectations as far as ksubas pesula and bu'ula. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of the page is going to talk about whether there's a different price for a ksuba when we're dealing with kohanim. By kohanim we mean a bas kohen. Does she get to demand more than the typical masayim for a basula and mana for an almana? And the Gemara is going to discuss the historical development of that halacha as far as a bas kohen is concerned. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about disputes about when she became netin. So when she became not a basula, what if the husband says, look, you weren't a basula, and I think that happened even before we had Erisin, and you knew that you weren't a basula, and you lied to me. And she says, no, it happened after we had Erisin, and I was Nansa, I was Nebuch, raped after the Erisin, and therefore I never lied to you, and I'm entitled to the full amount. So the Mishnah is going to have machlokas what the halacha is in such a case, and the ensuing Gemara is going to discuss the concept of Bari Vishema, Bari Adif, that perhaps we say that if someone comes with the time is Bari, and the other one comes with the time is Shema, she was the only one that was there when she was Nansa, he was not. So maybe her taina is stronger than his, because she's coming with the taina's bari. So let's begin Yud Aleph and Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page, Tan Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Kansa Rishon L'Shum Nisuin. If, again, we're working off of the Machlokas from Sheshes and Rava, if when you married her, assuming she was a Basula, and it turned out she's a Ba'ula, does that mean the whole thing is a Mekach Tolos and she loses her Ksuba? Or does that just mean we downgrade her to a Ksuba of only a Mana instead of Masayim? So the Braisa tells us that Kansa Rishon L'Shum Nisuin, a woman gets married to a man for the first time as for Nisuin, they go into the chuppah. V'yeshla edim shlo nistra, but they never quite made it to yichud after the chuppah. So we know they've never been alone together. This seems to be assuming that there was no that the definition of chuppah is not yichud. It's a major machlokas rishonim how we define the term chuppah. Is the chuppah accomplished by yichud? Shitas Rambam say yichud is the chuppah. That's the question. Why it is that at Sephardi weddings the common Sephardic practice is that they do not do yichud at the wedding, they do yichud much, much later. So it's a major hefsek between the brachos of the nisuin and the actual nisuin. So that's what the Sfardi poskim write, that the reason they don't do yichud at the wedding is that as soon as they do yichud, the woman would be absolutely obligated to cover her hair fully. Most kalas don't want to do that, and therefore they'd save the yichud until much later on. But the downside is that it's a major hefsek. You're saying all these brachos under the chuppah, and then the actual chuppah is not the actual halacha of chuppah. Of Nisuin is not happening until much, much later. So Rav Shechter always told us that he would not say a bracha under a Sephardi chuppah if given the option, unless it would embarrass the family. He's already called up, then maybe he'll say a bracha. But if given the option in advance, he'd rather not recite a bracha under a Sephardi chuppah, because if they're not going to be doing yichud, so he's choshish that it might be a bracha levatala because of the hefsek between the bracha and the yichud. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef writes, nah, don't worry about that hefsek, because Svardim rely on the shita that what we call chuppah is actually nisuin, that just being under the chuppah or being wrapped under the same talis is in fact the nisuin, and therefore it's at least that's enough nisuin to not make a hefsek between the brachos and the nisuin. But anyway, it does sound from this Gemara, right, that from this Braisa, that it's conservation from nisuin, and they were aiding that they were not nistera, that they never had they never had yichud. Inami, or the case is Nistra, they had yichud, but v'loshas k'debiyah. The yichud was interrupted, meaning normally you assume that the amount of time you need for yichud is the amount of time that it would take in order to be able to have bia. But every once in a while, a couple of brothers goes into the yichud room, and the photographer absolutely needs to get them out immediately. So he starts banging on the door, and the yedei yichud don't have the koach to fight him. So he comes in and he gets the and then he tries to get the couple or the whatever, the makeup artist, or someone needs something from the yichud room. So the yichud didn't last as long as it was supposed to. So there was no chance that they would have had bia. So ina sheni yachalit on time is besulim. Afal pikein, the next one, husband that marries her, if that husband dies before anything else happens, and then she gets remarried, that next husband is not going to be able to come with the tainus besulim sharei knasarishon, because she already had nisuin with a guy before that. Now, you might have thought that the husband could say, yeah, but the guy that she had nisuin with beforehand, they never were alone. They certainly were never alone long enough to have bia. But nevertheless, someone who's an almana besula mina nisuin gets a ksuba mana. She does not get Ksubas Masayim, and therefore there's no right for a Tainus Basulim. Just by virtue of the fact that she had Nisuin, that means that there's not going to be a Tainus Basulim. So says the Gemara. We have some late-breaking sponsors. So let me just... today's share is also sponsored anonymously by Chusra for Shlema for Esther Basara, and also by David Gavis from the Zeich of the Yartzeit of his father, Moshe Binyamin ben David Yehuda. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So anyway, so continuing, so Amar Rabba Zosa Meres, from this price we see Knasa B'cheskas Besula Nimtzis Bula Ish Ksubamana, that if you marry her expecting her to be a Besula and she becomes a Bu'ula, the Ksuba would only be the Ksuba would be a Mana, and it's not a total Mekach Tals, because the price says that the second guy cannot come with the Tainus Besulim to make her lose her Ksuba, even though he married her with the assumption that she's a basula, because there were edim that were made that she never had bia with the first guy. Nevertheless, she's still entitled to a ksuba. So you see that she doesn't lose everything entirely just because he thought she was a basula. The Tosos and the Rashba point out that the girsa that our Gemara has over here on the top of the page of Amar Rabba must be the correct girsa, because Rava in yesterday's daf said that mekachtos legamri mashma, that mekachtos means that it's a total mekachtos if he thought she was a basula. And turns out she was a Be'ula, and it's a Maklum, she would get nothing. So it must be that whoever's saying, deriving from this Brisa, that Yesh L'Ksuba Mana must not be Rava, it must therefore be Rabba. However, the Ritva says that maybe it's really Rava, and that which Rava said, Mekathos L'Gamri Mashma, that's only after Rav Ashi responds to him that we don't have a Raya from our Brisa, and that's why Rava says, Mekathos L'Gamri Mashma, because this conversation is not over yet. So this first line on Yud Beis Amud Aleph may reflect an earlier way of thinking that Rava had. But then Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi responds to Rava, you have no raya from the Braisa. Maybe Maybe in general, when a guy marries a girl assuming she's a Besula and it turns out she's a Be'ula, she'd be entitled to nothing. It's a Mekach Ta'us. V'shayni Hacha. But the case in the Braisa is different, where she does get a Ksuba, Shari Knasa Rishon, because she had been married to that first guy. So when the second husband married her, he knew that she already had nisuin with the first husband. So he must have been assuming that she was a bu'ula already. But there were edim shalom nivala. He's not going to rely on those edim. He's going to assume that the edim were just trying to make her more attractive to him, to make it a more attractive shidduch option to him. But he knows that if there was a history there, that there was a nisuin, that there's a very likely possibility that she's a bu'ula. So we wouldn't even refer to that as concept of Cheskas Pesula, in a case where he knew that there was a previous Nisuin. So ask the Gemara and the Braisa, why does the Braisa say that the second guy is not allowed to come with the Tainus Pesulim? So it sounds like that the husband has no Ne'emanus. And Mela, even if it turns out that she's a Be'ula, he can't come to Beis Din to make any Taina, because he knows he's not going to be Ne'eman with his Taina. So, but why aren't we Choshesh that maybe she had Znus while she was Be'erusin with him, and therefore she becomes Asura to him. Why don't we require that he comes to Beis Din to make the Taina, and let it be known that she in fact was a Be'ula, and then maybe Edom will come and will be able to clarify whether she's Asura or Muteris to him. Why don't we just cut out his legs from under him at the very beginning and tell him, no matter what you say, you're not going to be believed anyway. So I'm Rav Shravia, Kigon Shekide, Shubal the altar. The Bryce is talking about where there's no chash that she was Mezamet Tachtav, because he did Kiddush, the second husband, this husband, did Kiddushin with her, and right after he did Kiddushin, he did Nisuin, and he had beer with her right away. So there was no time where she could have been Mezamet Tachtav. They did a wedding like we do weddings, where the Erusin and the Nisuin happen under the Chuppah, and then right away they go home that night together after the wedding. So there was no opportunity for her to have been Nevelas Tachtav, but maybe in a Chinami, if there would have been an opportunity for her to be Nevelas Tachtav, then maybe we would tell the husband it's Kedai to go to Beis Din in order to clarify matters. So now the Gemara brings a different Lashon of exactly what Rabba says related to this Brysa. Some have Rabba's comment not on the Brysa, but on the Mishnah that we learned, that Pesula Alman Grusha B'chalutzvin Nisuin, that a girl who's a Pesula, even though she's an Almana, a Grusha, a Chalutzvin Min HaNisuin, so she already had Nisuin, but we know that she was never Niveles. So, nevertheless, because she already had Nisuin, her Ksuba is only a Mana. The Inland Titus Basulim, and the husband who married her is not going to be able to come with the Titus Basulim that he didn't find Basulim, because he married her Becheskas Be'ula, because she already had Nisuin once. So the Gemara explains, Basulim in Nisuin, Echim Mishkachsa. What does that mean, that you have a Basulim in a Nisuin, that she's ready on Nisuin, and yet the assumption that everyone's working with is that she's a Basula? How could you have such an assumption? The case must be that she went into the chuppah, but they did not yet have bia. So even though she's becheskas besula, but she still only gets a ksubas mana because she had nisuin. Amar Rabba, so on that, Rabba comments, Zosamaris comes to becheskas besula, nimsis beula, ksubas mana. You see that if you marry a girl with the assumption that she's a besula, and it turns out that she's a beula, she's still entitled to a ksuba, it's just that the ksuba is downgraded. Ksubas mana. So he's not going to be able to be towing Titus Basulim and be mafsir ksuba, even though she's a Ba'ula. So says Maravashi, Amar Ravashi's response is, Liolame Melach, Lialma, Lesa Klal. Maybe generally speaking, when you marry a girl assuming she's a Basula and turns out she's a Ba'ula, she loses her ksuba entirely. The whole thing is a Mekach Tolos Legamri. Vishaini Hacha, Shaini Nichlas Lechuppa. But the case in this Mishnah is different because the second husband, when he married her, knew that she had chuppah with a previous husband, so he wasn't really thinking that she's a basula. He may have been hoping, but he wasn't really thinking that she was a basula, and because of that, he has to give ksubas bu'ula. Ay, v'lecha shem betachtav zinsa. Why does the Mishnah say that there's no tainis basulim, which sounds like he has no ne'amonis? We tell him you might as well not bother showing up to Beis Din, because if you come to Beis Din with any sort of taina, we're just going to ignore you anyway. Why not have him come to Beis Din and see if Adam come and see if she was Mizana Tachtav? So I'm Rashrabia Kigosha Kiddush Rabal the altar. So again, the same answer, that maybe the case is that they had Kiddushin and then Nisuin immediately and Bia immediately after that, and therefore there was no time for her to have been Nivelas Tachtav after they already had Erisin. So these two Lashonos are remarkably similar to each other. The only difference between these two Lashonos of the Gemara, these two versions of the conversation of the Gemara, is what the starting point was. Was the starting point our Mishnah, or is the starting point our Braisa? So Man de Masna Braisa, the one who taught this comment of Rabba and Ravashi's rejection of Rabba's comment in relation to the Braisa, Kolshkin and Masnisin, certainly would be able to say the same thing in the case of the Mishnah. Because if in the case of the Braisa, where there were Edim that she didn't have Bia, Rav Ashi would still say, look, you knew she had Nisuin, and therefore you have to have assumed that she was a Ba'ula. So certainly in the case of the Mishnah, where there were no Edim that she didn't have Bia, that for sure you would have to assume that she's a Ba'ula. But Amanda Masna Masnisin, but if you learned this conversation between Rabba and Rav Ashi in relation to the Mishnah, then you could say that it's Dafka in relation to the Mishnah, where there were no Edim that she didn't have Bia with the first husband, and that's why you would have to assume that she's Becheskas Be'ula. Avla Braisa, though, but maybe Rav Ashi would admit in the case of the Braisa where there were Edim
Eidim that she didn't have Bia, that Yutaka thought she was a Basula. So Mishum de Matzi Yamela, because the husband could say to her, Ana a Eidim Samchi, I was relying on the Eidim that said that you were never Nivellas, and that's why I married you, Becheskas Basula. And now that you're a Ba'ula, it's an absolute Mekachtaus. So according to that Lashon, we actually do have a Raya from the Brisa. Rabbah's initial comment is correct. We do have a Raya from the Brisa, that even though you married her Becheskas Basula, nevertheless, she gets a ksuba when she's found to be a ba'ula. It's downgraded from a ksuba's masayim to mana, but she still gets a ksuba. So that's the concept of ksuba, ksuba mana. Because otherwise, why can't he come to Beis Din and come with the tiny basula and make her lose her ksuba because he married her becheskas basula? So it turns out that the two lashonos actually argue whether we have a raya from the brisa to this din, that if concept of becheskas basula and tis ba'ula, that ksuba samana. That's what the two Lashonos disagree about. Now, the whole sugya discusses that if you marry your Becheskas Pesula, she turns out to be a Ba'ula, whether she gets a Ksuba of Mana or Masayim. And the poskim discuss, whether it's mutter for a kala to hide the fact that she's a ba'ula. So that's a major discussion. And Pashtus is that it's not, that it's a mekach ta'us. So there are those that hold that since the ksuba is only a mana, and he says masayim, so they're violating an isra of being shoima below ksuba. And that's why she has to tell him in order to write the right amount in the ksuba, because they're being together with an invalid ksuba. But Piskei Tshuva, Evan Ezra Simon Nun, writes the following. He quotes from a Chavis Yair that the pigam of a ba'ula is because the guy can have a taina that I wanted to be towing tam besula. Meaning, what's the whole argument about? What's the issue about? Is it the fact that she's had experiences with other men? That's the pashtus. Nevertheless, Chavis Yair says that no, the taina is about that he wanted it to physically feel that he's being towing tam besula. The Chassam Sofer says tzarchi in the maisa, and we need to look further into that whether we pask in that way. In the Tshuvas Divrei Yitziv, the Kleisenberger writes that he says Valkalzus lo yadati ba'ofen kshali dei rofe yitukan adavar lepesach sasum im gamken shayich hachmilsa. So he says, I don't know what happens if a woman gets surgically reconstructed so that it feels like a basula again, even though there's actually a procedure that they do called a hymenoplasty. Apparently, it's very common in some other religions that a young lady would go through such a thing in order that it should have tam besula. So if she gets that, does she now have a ksubas besula? So this is something you'd be surprised. The shaila comes up in our communities as well. Sometimes you have a girl who's a balas tshuva and she wants to and she goes and she feels bad about her past indiscretions or whatever, and therefore she wants to have a ksubas besula, and without consulting a rav who would probably discourage doing any such procedure, she goes and has such a procedure. So does that have an impact? Does that change the halacha? So there are discussions in poskim about this very issue. I once gave a share about it, but not for now. So it's a major topic that the poskim discuss. Okay, new Mishnah now. Ha'ochel eitz l'cham b'Yehuda. If a person ate by his father-in-law's house after already having erusin with his wife in Yehuda, in the towns of Yehuda, shalom be'edim, where there were no edim that were made that they didn't have yichud together, and then after they get married, after they have nisuin, he finds that she's a ba'ula, ein yachal liton tainas besulim. He cannot come with a claim, oh, I thought she was a besula, meishem is yachin ima. He had yichud with her before the nisuin. So we assume that, yeah, mistama, she is a ba'ula, and mistama, you're the reason that she is a ba'ula. They had yichud together. So the Rishonim write, the reason that they would be miyached them, the Rishonim quoted Yerushalmi, is because they made a gzeira in Yehuda that any besula that was nises berevi'i had to be tibal lahegmon tchila, had to have bia with the governor first, and therefore it was the derech of the Bnei Yehuda to be miyached the chasum of the kala before they were nichnas l'chopa, in order that they should develop a certain level of connection and a certain level of comfort with each other, so that the kala will fall in love with the chasum. It used to be that they would fall in love after they got married, not before they got got married. So we would want them to spend a lot of time together and to have like a more, modern way of falling in love, that they'd fall in love before they got married. In order that, the woman, in order that, if the hegemon would take advantage of her afterwards, it would be a total onus. She would have no interest in the hegemon because she's already in love with her husband. Or so that the hegemon will find that she's already a ba'ula, and he'll be if they keep doing that time and time again, and each time they find that she's already a ba'ula, maybe they'll be mevatel their entire gzeira of tibal lehegemon tchila. So the Yerushalmi just adds, why is it dafka in Yehuda that they had this practice? So I mentioned it last week, because when the Bnei Yaakov came to bury their father, to bury Yaakov, Esav came to with a taina that on the makom kvura that belonged to him. And Yehuda got up, and Yehuda is the one that killed Esav. And afterwards, when Esav had power again over us, so they were gozer on the besulos of Yehuda Dafka because of that history with Yehuda. So I mentioned that last week. I got about a half a dozen emails saying, wait a second, didn't Chushim ben Dan kill Esav? Isn't there something like that? Rashi and Chumash, Gemara and Saita? Yeah, but this is Yerushalmi, so it's a machlokas. Who exactly killed Esav? So the Yerushalmi says that it was, in fact, Yehuda that killed Esav, that it wasn't Chushim, right? The way we have it, I think, in the Gemara and Sota, is that Chushim ben Dan was sent to get the they sent Naphtali to go get the deed to the Maris HaMachpelah, and Chushim ben Dan was there and he was deaf, so he didn't follow the whole conversation. So he said, "What's going on over here?" They said, "Yeah, Esav is trying to take the burial plot," and he just immediately killed him. He said, "What do you mean? He's taking away Yaakov's burial plot." So that's Chaim Shmulev. It says a whole shmuz based on that medrash, that it was Chushim ben Dan, because he says, you know, it shows you what Hergel can do, that if things happen slowly, the you can see things as normal when they happen slowly enough, and you totally lose your bearings. So everyone else had the whole conversation back and forth and back and forth, to the point where, okay, this is Esav being Esav, we'll go, we'll find the deed. But for Chushim, he wasn't following the whole conversation. So in one moment, the whole thing hit him like a ton of bricks, and he realized just how outlandish that was, how crazy that was. So he immediately reacted to it. And this is Chaim Shmulevitz says in Sichas Musar, that's a Musar for how sometimes we could be influenced by society around us if things happen just very gradually, and we start getting used to things that are ideas and hashkafos that are very, very far from Torah hashkafos. But anyway, that's all the Bavli. The Yerushalmi says that it was Yehuda, and that's why in Yehuda they made such a takana. They had this practice to have Yichud in Yehuda, and Rabbeinu Yohanan, he says that it was in Yehuda because the Goyim knew that Mashiach is going to come from Yehuda, he's going to be Moshiach Yisrael, so that's why they dafka wanted to demoralize Yehuda more than anybody else. Okay, so says Gemara, Mitakhtani Ha'ochel, from the fact that it says Ha ochel, someone who's ochel eitzel chametz biyehuda, sounds like mechal diikaduch to biyehuda nami de lo achil, that was not a universal practice in Yehuda. Some rabbi shmamina biyehuda nami comes siyesh. You see that even in Yehuda there were some places where they had yichud and other places where they didn't have yichud. So our Mishnah that says he's not able to be toin tainus besulim is only in those places where they were knowing to have yichud. But in those other places in Yehuda where they didn't have yichud, the guy would be able to have a tainus. So the Gemara brings a raya that's in fact true, that there were different practices in different places in Yehuda. Kidei Tanya, Amar Rav Yehuda b'Yehuda b'Rishona, initially in Yehuda you miyachin as a chasen as a kala sha'ach as kodum k'nisas in the chuppah, they would be miyachin the chasen and the kala for one sha'ah prior to entering the chuppah. Sha'ah doesn't always mean an hour, sometimes it means a moment, right? Yesh kona lama b'sha'achas doesn't mean an hour, it means a moment. The very first usage of the word Shah in Tanakh, it means to turn, right? To Minchas Kayin lo Sha'ah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't turn to accept Minchas Kayin. Rabbi Friend, it's had a whole Tshuva Drasha about that, that Yesh Kon Olam B'Sha'achas means one inflection point, one tipping point, one turn in a person's life, as opposed to a unit of time. But anyway, so they would be Miyachid Chasen Kala Sha'achas before the Chuppah Kadei She'e Libo Gaspa, in order that they should get comfortable with each other. But they didn't do that in Galil. And similarly, Yehuda Barishona, initially in Yehuda, They would give the chasen and kala to edim, echado ve'echado, one for him, one for her, k'day l'mashmish chasen v'sakala b'shaskis asan l'chuppah, so that they wouldn't do any trickery, any deceit as far as dam besulim is concerned. So they would check the chasen that they don't that he's not hiding the sheets where the dam besulim are, and they would check the kala that she's not bringing in an already pre-bloodied sheet to sneak in into the room to claim that she was a besula, and to make sure that she goes in empty-handed and that he's leaving empty-handed, right? He's not hiding the sheets. She's not bringing any extra sheet. Oh, but Galil, you also care, but they didn't do that in Galil. And a third chalik between Yehuda and Galil. But Yehuda Barishona, hayu shushrinim yishenim b'bay, yishachas mekala yishenim ba. The shushrinim would sleep in the same house as the chas mekala. Oh, but Galil, you also came. But in Galil, they didn't do that. So three differences. One is that in Yehuda they had yichud. The other is in Yehuda they had Shnei Shushvinin, and third is that the Shushvinin in Yehuda would sleep in the same house as the Chasen and Kala. But what you do see from this Braisa is that even within Yehuda, there were places where they were not Miyachid the Chasen and Kala together before the Nisuin. Because if in every place they were knowing to be Miyachid, then what was the purpose of the Shushvinin? Meaning if they were always Miyachid the Chasen and Kala together, so then right away you assume she's not a Besuda anyway. So you don't need all these Shushvinin to make sure that there are no extra sheets and no hidden sheets and nothing like that. She's not a Besuda anyhow. So you see that. Even be Yehuda, Mekamus Yesh. There is a question in the Rishonim and Achronim, how literally do we take Shah Achas Kodim Knisas L'chuba? The Mi'iri writes, Lav Davka Shah Achas. It means, Lav Davka Shah Achas Som L'chuba. It means it would be Miyachid at some point before the Chuba. It could be it could be right after Erisin, a year earlier. It could be right before the Nisuin, you know, right around that time. It could be at any point in between. That's how the Mi'iri writes. The Hafla, however, says that you have to say that maybe there were three minhagim in three different places in Yehuda. There were those that didn't have yichud at all. There were those that had yichud at the time of the Sudas Erisin, and there were those that had yichud, but all the way closer to the time of the Sudas Nisuin, to the time of the actual performing of the Nisuin. So now the Gemara quotes the end of the Braisa, the Kol Shalonah, Kamina Gazeh, Eni Yachalit on Tainas Besulim. Anyone who does not follow this practice is not able to have a Tainas Besulim. A Heya, which practice? We just quoted three different practices in Yehuda, that they had yichud, that they had Shushvinim, and that the Shushvinim slept in the same house. Which practice, if you don't do, can you not claim a Tainas Besulim? Ilem Aresha, if we're talking about the minhag that they would have yichud together, and that's what we're saying, that if they don't do that, if they don't have yichud together, then he loses the Tainas Besulim. No, it's the opposite. Kol shenad mi ba'ilei. The Braisa should have said, anyone who does this practice of who has yichud together, that's when you'd lose the Tainas Besulim, because min hastam, we'd assume that he's the one that was ba'al her. So ella aseifa. So no, it must be going on the second of the three practices, where we said that in Yehuda, they're af shashvinin. Meaning over here, the word seifa, the Ritva points out, does not mean the very last din. It means the later din, but not the last din. It means the middle one. Sometimes we have such a concept of a seifa, the resha, resha, the seifa. Not every time we say resha doesn't mean the very first din. Not every time we mean seifa, we say seifa doesn't mean the last din. Everything is relative. So sometimes you'll even have in Shas, where one person refers to a resha, another person refers to a seifa, and they're referring to the same din, because there are three dinim that are in a row, and they're both referring to din number two. One is referring to it as a resha, because it's a resha klapei the seifa. The other was referring to it as a seifa, because it's a seifa klapei the resha. So here also, seifa means the middle din, that they would have shushvinin, that anyone who's not knowing to have shushvinin loses Tainas Besulim. It says more kol shalom mushmush b'bayilei. It shouldn't say kol shalom nohag, because it should have just said, it's not a minog that there, it's a, that the chasen is knowing. It's a minog to make sure to check that they're not lying. It should have just said kol shalom mushmush. Anyone who didn't have this extra level of oversight loses his Tainas Besulim. So I'm Rabbi Eliyahu Maresha. So Rabbi says, you know what? Really, we're going back on the very first practice in Yehuda about the Yichud, Utni, and just change the wording of the Braisa a little bit. It should say, Kol Shenohag. Not Kol Shalonohag, but Kol Shenohag. That anyone who in fact did this practice would lose his rights to a tainis pesulim. Amar le Rav, aval kol shalona katani. That's what it says kol shalona hag. Ella amar Rav, so Rav says hachi kamar. This is what the Bryce is trying to say, that kol shalona minig galil begalil, ella minig Yehuda begalil, en yachalit on tainis pesulim. It is going on that very first difference between Yehuda and Galil about having yichud, and when it says kol shalona, it doesn't mean anyone who doesn't have yichud loses tainis pesulim. It's saying that anyone who lives in Galil and doesn't do like Mina Galil, but instead does like Mina Yehuda and has Yichud, he loses his Tainus Pesulim. Ravashi Yomar Liolma Seifa. Ravashi says, no, really, it's going on the Seifa, the din of having Shushvinim to make sure that no one's sneaking in or out any sheets. Utinei Kol Shalom Mushma. In Echinami, change the words from Kol Shalom Nohag to Kol Shalom Mushmash. Okay, now the Mishnah tells us the following. We had learned on Dav Yudam base that a Basula always gets a Ksubas Masayim, and an Almana always gets a Mana. So, Achas Almana Yisrael, Achas Manas Kohanim, Ksubas Mana. Whether the Almana is a Bas Yisrael or whether she's a Bas Kohen, her Ksubas is always going to be a Mana. Bezdin Shal Kohanim, Hayugovin the Basula Arba Meilzuz, Velomi Chubiyav Machacham. But when it came to a Basula, the Bezdin Shal Kohanim would collect 400 Zuz for their Basulos, for a Bas Kohen who's a Basula. And the Chachamim made no objection to that practice. Shidum Gwetz says, Bezen Shal Kohanim? What kind of Bezen Shal Kohanim? They weren't Batidin set up based on city, based on location. They had Kohanim Batidin, Leviim Batidin, whoever heard of such a thing. So Shidum Gwetz said, yeah, they had cities where Kohanim lived. It was in the ear, Shal Kohanim. And therefore, when they set up a Bezdin, it was a Bezdin, Shal Kohanim. But the Tosus points out that anyone really could be Mechayiv anything, any amount of the Ksuba. You don't have to only give them the same zuz, meaning we have a practice, we give way more than the same zuz. We always add meyaz, zukukim, kesef, tsaruf as tosefes ksuba. So we all give way more than the same zuz. So what sort of takana was necessary over here to say that it's abra meyaz zuz? Every ksuba is negotiated. Every ksuba they decide, I mean, it used to be, every ksuba was like Sephardic ksuba where they actually negotiate prices, where it wasn't just a standard amount like we have in Ashkenazi ksubas nowadays. So negotiate whatever you want. Well, why do we have to need a takana that it's arba meyazuz? So nafkamina would be that if the Tos points out that if, let's say, they forgot to write an amount, they just said the money chazulichi, the money that you're automatically entitled to. So we always assume that that means masayim zuz, and that would mean masayim zuz even for bas kohen also. But once the Beis Din Shulchan made a takana that standard for a bas kohen is arba meyazuz, then just the chazulichi without giving a price automatically would mean arba meyazuz. So that would be a nafkamina. So says the Gemara, Tana, Almanas Kohanim, Ksubas Masayim. Even though the Basulas Kohen gets twice the amount that a Basulas Bas Yisrael gets, an Almana Bas Kohen still, just like it was doubled for a Bas Kohen who's a Basula, an Almana who's a Bas Kohen also gets doubled, and she gets a Masayim instead of a Mana. So ask the Gemara, but it said Beferish not that way in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that it's only 100 for an Almanas Bas Kohen. So Ravashi Shtei Takanas Havu. There are two Takanas of the din of an Almana Bas Kohen. Meikara Tikinul Basula Abramei Zuz. Initially made a Takana that Basula Bas Kohen gets 400 Zuz. Ula Almana Mana. And they made a Takana that a Bas Kohen doesn't get anything extra. She just gets a Mana. But keeping the Chazad to Mizalzulu, since they saw that they were being Mizalzel in the Almanos in the Bas Kohen Almanos, that the husbands were not having a hard time divorcing them because their ksuba was so cheap. So Tekinu Lumasan, they were Misakin that they should get 200 Zuz. But given the Chazad Parshim Minayu, once they saw that no one wanted to marry these Almanos anymore, Da Amri, because they said, look, I have two Shiruch resumes in front of me. Adin Sivin on Almanos Kohanim, Nezel Nesu Basul Bas Yisrael. Granted, the Almanos Kohanim, she's from a Mishpach Miuchesas, but she's already been married, and for the same price, for the same Masayim Zuz, I can get a Basul Bas Yisrael. So Adrin Lemil Sayu, so they brought, put back things to the way they used to be, where an Almanos Kohen only gets a Mana, and therefore she'll be more appealing for someone to marry. So Bezen Shal Kohanim, the Mishnah said that Bezen Shal Kohanim would collect 400 zuz for a bas kohen, basula bas kohen. Some of them were shmuel lobeis and shulchan bilvan. Amr la filu mishpachos amiyuchas to be Yisrael imratzu lasus kederek shakranim osin osin. It's not only for kohanim. Any mishpacha amiyuchas can make a takana that the basulos from their family it's going to be 400 zuz, and they're fully entitled to do that. The rishonim all write the Ran and the Ritva that it's dafka mishpachos amiyuchas shav Yisrael, but stam mishpachos can't do that. And even if they make a tanai like that, it doesn't work. However, the Ritva says that that any Bnei Ha'ir that makes such an agreement about their daughters, even to when they marry into other cities, and it's well known, and anyone who's marrying a girl from that city knows that that's the deal, right? Sometimes you marry a girl from a certain place, you know that there's a certain hanhaga, there's a certain minute that they have, there's a certain thing that they do. You marry a girl from outside of the New York area, you know that there will be a speech at the wedding. That's what they do outside of New York. It's only in New York that they don't do speeches at the wedding, right? There are certain things that you know are just automatic that come along with marrying from certain places. So says the Ritva, as long as it's known that that's the thing that they do, so then that's the thing that they do. Then it could be binding. It doesn't have to be mishpacha miyuchesas be Yisrael that's making such a deal. So asking Mar Meisvei, I wrote the last of the Shacharim Moshe Gom Bas Yisrael the Kohen Bas Kohen Yisrael Osin when it's Bas Kohen Yisrael Bas Yisrael to Kohen that wants to make such a deal like they had by the Bas Kohen, so they could do that. Bas Yisrael, the Kohen Bas Kohen Yisrael, who did a Tzad Kohuna. But it sounds like only because there's a Tzad Kohuna in the relationship are you allowed to make such a special deal that she gets a higher amount. Av Bas Yisrael, the Yisrael, lo. But if it's Bas Yisrael to Yisrael, then you're not able to make such a takana to be mechayev 400 zuz. Unlike what Rabbi Dor Shmuel said, that even a Bas Yisrael from a mishpacha miyuchases, they can make such a deal where they elevate the price of the ksuba. So says Mar Nav, lo mi bayuka amar. The Brisa is saying the greater chiddush from a Bas Yisrael to Yisrael. Lo mi bayu Bas Yisrael to Yisrael. Not only when there's no kuhuna involved, to lo mas yamla uli kamalin alach, where the husband can't say, I shouldn't have to pay so much. I'm an upgrade for you, meaning I'm elevating you because I'm from a greater yichus than you are. So aval Bas Yisrael the koi the matzi yamla uli kamalin alach. Even a Bas Yisrael marries a male, a female Bas Yisrael marries a male kohen, where the husband might be able to say, I'm more miyuchas than you, and therefore I shouldn't have to pay as much. Say imalo, I might think that she's not that her family is not entitled, or her city is not entitled to make a tanai that her ksuba is going to be 400 zuz. So kamash malan, that's why it comes to tell me that even in such a case they can make such a tanai. But certainly when it's a Bas Yisrael the Yisrael that are able to make such a tanai. The Ritva raises the question: what difference does it make that there's a tzad kuhuna at the meaning? The Gemara initially thought that having a tzad kuhuna automatically makes it that it's going to be 400 zuz, even that it's more likely to be 400 zuz, even if the tzad kuhuna is on the man's side. Before the Gemara answered, no, a tzad kuhuna on the man's side is more of a reason to say it's a cheaper ksuba. But the Gemara in the Havamina thought a tzad kuhuna on either side is more reason to assume it's a more expensive ksuba. Why? What's that Havamina? Why would we think that because a guy is a kohen, he should have to pay a premium on a ksuba? He's a kohen. Why should he lose because he's a kohen? So the Ritva says it could be that when the kohanim made this takana that their basulos are entitled to twice as much as everybody else, they didn't want to appear too arrogant. That they're taking a srara over everybody else. That we're only going to be mechayev ourselves X, but we expect for our daughters 2X. That felt like it was not right. So that maybe they did, because they didn't want to be notel such a srara, they didn't want to take such a, you know. So they said we're willing to give as much as we get. So we're willing to be generous when our sons get married as much as we expect for our daughters. Okay, new Mishnah. Hanoseh Yisha v'lo matzala besulim. If a man gets married to a woman assuming she's a besula and they don't find any besulim, he marries Misha Rastani Nenasti. She says, yeah, after Erusin, Nebuchadnezzar was Nenas, v'nistach v'sadeu, and therefore it's your tough luck, but I'm entitled to my full ksuba. V'omer Loki, ela achlo Erustich. He says, no, it happened before Erusin. V'yimechi mechachtos, and you lied to me. You claimed to be a besula when you knew that you were not. So when we have Rabbi Lazar Omer Ne'emenes, when we have Rabbi Lazar say, we believe her. Rabbi Shua Omer, lo mi pia anu chayin. We do not live from that which comes out of her mouth, which means she's lying, and therefore we don't rely on her. What does it mean, lo mi pia anu chayin? Shittim Gvetzah says it's based on the Mishnah, the first parak of Pirkei Avos, that there are three amudei olam, and one of them is emes. So we're saying that which sustains the world is not that which is coming out of her mouth. Das is nishtemes, right? That's not the truth. Tiferes Shaul says, based on the Maisa that appears in Sanhedrin's Afsad Zayin Amalav, that there was a city that was called Kushta, and no one ever lied in that city, and no one ever died young because no one ever lied in that city. So you see that telling a lie brings about an early demise. So Lomi Pia Anu Chayin, Ela Harezu Becheskas Bu'ula Ad Shalot Tisares. We assume that she was a Bu'ula prior to the Erisin, Vihit Atu, and she lied to him, Ad Shtavirai Lidvera, until she's able to prove otherwise. So the Gemara explains, why doesn't we all think that the woman is believed to even be motzi mamon from the husband? Is it because of bari v'shema bari adif? And since she's coming with a tainas bari and the husband best could only have a tainas shema, her taina is better? Or maybe there's another reason why we're going to believe her. So itmar manali biyadcha. If a guy says to his friend, "You owe me $100," v'alomer any yodea. The other says, "I don't know." So Rav Huna amri chayiv. Rav Yudah and Rav Huna say he's chayiv. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan amri Potter. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan both say that he's Potter. Rav Huna, Rav Yudah amri chayiv bar Yishama bar Yadif. The reason he says chayiv is because he's coming and saying, "I know for sure you owe me $100," and the response is, maybe I do." So the time is bar, he wins. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan amri Potter. Okay, manu b'cheskas mare. That no, that even though you have a bar Yishama, but there's a chazaka. The guy has that's holding on to the money right now should be able to continue holding on to the money. So Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef had Rav Huna, Rav Yudah de Shmuel he. That was Rav Huna, Rav Yudah say. That bar v'shema bar yadif is already what Shmuel said. Itnan, because we're going to have a mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel that Haisamul Beres, a single girl that was pregnant, and Omer Lamati v'shel Buzah, and everyone asks her, "What's going on? Where did this baby come from?" And she says, "Miyish Ploni v'Kamein Hu." It came from a certain guy, and he's a meyuchas. From Gamliel Rabbi Lazar Omer Nehemenes. From Gamliel Rabbi Lazar say that she's believed and she's kasha l'kuhuna, and Rabbi Yeshua says she's not believed. V'Amar Rav Yom Shmuel, and Shmuel comments on that on Daf Yud Aleph that halach Rav Gamliel. That we believe her. V'amri Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda, "Shinna Amrit la Mishmei de Shmuel halach Rav Gamliel af Rishona." You told us that the halach is like Rav Gamliel, even not only in that machlokas where it's only about Isser, but even in the machlokas in our Mishnah, where the whole discussion is about how much money she's going to get. So my af parishona, why does he use the lashon of af, that even in our Mishnah, apparently that even though in our Mishnah you might say, follow the chazaka, and the chazaka is that he doesn't have to pay, but bari adif, and therefore he does have to pay. So ask the Gemara, it turns out that Rav Gamliel holds like Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. So Lema, Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, da Amri, Kram Gamliel, Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, da Amri, Kram Yeshua. If this was already a Machlokas Tanaim, why are the Amoraim pretending that it's a brand new Machlokas? Why doesn't each one just paskin like the Tana that they're paskining like? So Amlok Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman might tell you, Anoda Amri, I who say that we do not follow Bari Adif, I could hold a Filu Kram Gamliel, that I can look Kram Gamliel Hasam in our Mishnah by the case of Misha Rastani Ne Nasti, that the woman is believed with her Tainus Bari, that's Aldiika Migo, because the woman is only believed because she has a Migo, because she could have said that she never had Bia with a man at all. She could have said she was just a Mukas Eitz. Aval Hacha, my Migo Ika. But in a case of regular Dine Mamonis, where one guy says, "You owe me $100, the other guy says, "Eni Odea," he doesn't have any Migo. So therefore, that's when we would say Bari Adif. But when the girl has a Migo on her side, that's when we would say Lav Bari Adif. But when the girl has a Migo on her side, then we'll say the Bari is Adif. Or maybe Rav Gamliel only says by Ksubas Isha that the woman is believed, Eladamin Ukma Chazaka, because there's a Chazaka that the woman has a Cheskas Besula, Aval Hacha, my Chazaka Islay. But over here, if someone is just claiming money, my Chazaka Islay Dahai. What Chazaka does the Toveya have that he's going to be believed to be Motzi Mamun from the Nitva? And therefore, we should follow the Cheskas Mamun and not just give Mamun without a Raya. And Hachi Nami Mistavra, and it's Mistavra to say this way, Kiddukum Shaninan, so Rav Nachman. That Rav Nachman in fact is able to hold like Rav Gamliel, and the Bari by the loan is different than the Bari by our Mishnah of Misha Rastanin and Nasti Dim Kain, because if Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Yeshua and not like the Gemara says that he holds like Rav Gamliel, so we would end up with a stira in the halacha. Because we have a klal in halacha that we pass like Rav Nachman and Dine Mamonis. yet over here we paskin like Ram Gamliel that the isha's ne'emenes and we're motzi the mamon with the taitis bari. So must be that they're reconcilable, that it's possible that we paskin like Rav Nachman and it's possible that we paskin like Ram Gamliel because it's possible that they do not disagree with each other. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. I apologize for going a little over time.
Yes,
Baruch, yeah.